and congratulations again to Zaria and to the entire Housing Authority Police Department for supporting this wonderful program. So we're now moving on to item B.
Item B. Good evening, Commissioners. Item B is a resolution, is consideration of a resolution authorizing the negotiation and execution of documents related to the acquisition, leasing, finance, and development of the 94th and International Development with related companies and Axe Community Development Corporation, and making findings and approvals required by the California Environmental Quality Act. And this is a project that we had discussed last month in closed session, and we're now bringing it forward for your approval. It's an interesting project that's been around. It's on the corner of 94th and International on the side of the street, and are getting involved with Axe and related, we think, will help them achieve some 9% tax credits, as we discussed. Also, the city does own the lot across the street, so they're looking at retail development there. This will have first-story retail development and then housing on top of it. And the area does have a rapid transit bus line now proposed to go through. So it's hopefully an area of change, and I think we can help assist with that with this project. And so it's being moved forward, and Phil Neville and I are here for any questions. Do you want to add anything, Phil, in terms of a report? Bill will add a little more detail than my generalized comments.
Good evening, Commissioners. Again, I'm Phil Neville, Real Estate Development Department. I want to point out that tonight in the audience we have the representative from related companies, Colby Northridge. Colby's in the second row here. He has actually been working on this project for quite a few years, even though it's new to us. Colby has recently relocated to the Bay Area from Irvine, the main office for Related, and is part of their team here. At any rate, we wanted just to tell you that a little bit about the project that makes it different from what we normally do. We normally go out and find a good site and acquire the site, do all the planning, assemble a site as a buildable lot, get all the city's approvals and entitlements, hire architects, engineers to design the site, get city planning approval, assemble the funding. As you know, it's kind of a layer cake of funding. In this case, normally with six or eight sources of financing. In this case, most of that heavy lifting has already been done. Related began to work with Axe Full Gospel Church and their related affiliate. As Eric mentioned, Axe Community Development Corporation. They bought 13 different parcels, and the plan is to assemble those into one buildable site to put up 59 apartments for families. It's a site that we've gone out and met with them on, with the church and related, and looked at it, and we understand the city has already pledged over $7.7 million to this project, which is a very good thing. It's hard to get the city to put that kind of money into one project anymore. And they plan on this project at the end of the day would be about a $29 million project all in. We're asking you to approve an acquisition conditions agreement tonight that would allow us to pledge $4 million. Part of that would be to purchase the land under the development, and we have a brand new appraisal that Colby shared with us today of $1.37 million, just a little bit higher than what we had before. So the plan here is that we'd pledge $4 million. $1.37 million would go to purchasing the land from the church and its affiliate, and that money would then would come back into the property to help build it. I'll explain how later. And then, secondly, the remaining fund of the $4 million, which is about $2.6 million, would be a soft loan or a residual receipts loan to the partnership to help make it affordable. We would own the land then, and we would execute a long-term land lease, and we would charge a nominal rent on that land, again, to make the project viable. By a separate deal with the ACDC, the Axe Community Development Corporation, the church's affiliate, they would return the funds that we bought the land with and invest that back into the property. And in exchange, they would run the commercial component. There'll be about 3,500 square feet of commercial space. Bridget Galka has been working with me on it, and she's working through the due diligence issues on it. I would just say one thing, there's less risk for us with a project that's this far along. We didn't have to loan money to get all that work they've done over the last few years. And I'd say one more thing, and that is this project has come close to getting their tax credit funding in the past. And the feeling is that with the Housing Authority's land donation, that is a nominal land lease, they'll get points for that, and they'll also get points for the government fund loan that we'll make. And we're hoping that that will give them a higher tiebreaker score in the 9% tax credit competition that's coming up. Applications are due in March 4th. So I think those are the highlights. 59 apartments, all with parking on a surface lot for families. And the retail space, as I explained. So if you have any questions for Colby or for me or for Bridget, we'll be here.
Yeah, I was just looking at the environmental impact and process. So what does it mean for infill development?
Infill development simply means that it's a built-up city and you've got a lot. You know, if you go out in the country, you might be able to find a farm that you could subdivide. Here, infill is just a term for you're building within the city on either vacant land or land where there's some old buildings that are going to be torn down.
And it's the majority, if not the entire city of Oakland, would build doing infills, taking a lot that's underutilized or assembling a series of lots that have already been divided and used for something, and building up a vacant parking lot, building up a series of vacant. In this case, there are some structures on it, so the structures will come down. They're all owned by ACTS. That's one of the challenges. In terms of the impact, talking about environmental impact, we have our development policy that the board approved a couple of years ago, and it's really kind of an interesting and innovative way to look at priorities. Mm-hmm. We have done a number of priorities in terms of really putting some affordability into some unaffordable neighborhoods in the city of Oakland, but the other half of the policy is how can we use our investment dollars to really lift up certain neighborhoods. Yes. And that's really what we're talking about trying to do in partnership with the city and with AC Transit and with that community to see what we can do. And the chair and I have had some conversations about maybe bringing some stuff forward in depending on how this goes, it can help really target OHA's commitment to try and help the surrounding neighborhood, not just this one parcel. Yes. But I think its impact is really what we look at now as the board looks at its neighborhood impact, the community impact, and the impact on its residents. The impact will be the new residents will have high quality housing near transit-oriented development and hopefully quality shopping around the community. The neighborhood impact is it will really, I think, help lift up the neighborhood, provide new retail space, and provide a space that a lot of the traffic along International, that's highly traveled, both those streets. They're very busy streets. So there's a potential to have shopping and have it work. And if you know you just go into San Leandro and suddenly you have thriving retail, but a few blocks west of San Leandro, suddenly you don't. So we're hoping to try and pull that forward and really have a neighborhood and community impact where we're a catalyst for change with this, and I'm encouraged that we can make a difference, and I think Phil has worked very hard with a really different deal for us to make this happen. The per unit cost, the amount that we're paying per unit, is actually really a good figure for us. It's much less than we would normally have invested if we were doing it all ourselves, but because we're not, we're able to do it more affordably. And I know it was some complicated negotiations over the past few months on Phil's part, and I just wanted to congratulate he and all of real estate for bringing it this far for us to consider.
Did you have a
are you finished?
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you, and I completely agree, Director. It's wonderful to lift up this particular part of Oakland. I'm so happy that we're about to build these homes here. One of the questions that I have is concerning the retail piece that you were speaking of. I have two examples. One is the California Hotel, whose retail space sits empty years later. And the other one is the Mandela Gateway, which is actually a thriving retail space. And so I'm curious, how dependent is a successful retail space in this particular space, and who are we going to invite?
That is such a good question. Phil's going to tell you what we talked about on that. But I just want to point out that Mandela was not always a thriving retail space. It took a decade to get it to where it is.
Okay.
Phil, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, it was certainly tough to lease up the commercial space at Mandela. Colby has worked very hard with the church on what might happen along that corridor. They all believe this will be a catalyst for change in that neighborhood. And essentially, the church would like to control that space and help figure out what sort of retail or commercial operation would work best there. As you know, the church has Axeville Gospel has holdings all along International in addition to this site, and they have some service projects that they have over there. So the idea, we don't know what kind of entity would occupy that space at this point, but the church will have a lot to do with that. And with a member, I think their membership is 5,000 to 6,000 people. I think they'll draw on the talent they have among their members as well.
And my second question is to that is, how dependent is the success of this complex on the retail?
Well, the apartments will be budgeted separately, so we won't depend on, with the rental operation, related management will be running that, and it won't depend on commercial income. It's been underwritten just as a rental project as opposed to including any commercial income.
Thank you. My second question is pertaining to the concerns of one of our REB members who is actually present in the audience today, and I'm so grateful to see her. She has been very vocal in stating that in our disabled units that our designs could be improved, and I have heard her speak specifically about lowering the reaching the cabinets and lowering spaces and increasing but it's closer to me.
No, the pole.
Oh, tell me, Director Say.
The cabinet pull out so that you can easily access lower cabinets and drawers.
So you heard her speak very eloquently, and I just, it looks like we have a chance to include some of this in the design and some of our really wonderful suggestions from the RAB.
I don't know if she is talking about the older housing or whether she's talking about our newer housing that we've developed in recent years. All the newer housing has had to meet all the standards. 5% of the units must be fully accessible. And pretty much all of the buildings that we put up recently are elevator buildings, which really helps to make units accessible. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about an adaptable unit, you and our ED.
I think what you're suggesting, which I think is wonderful, is that if Related and Company would agree to meet with both our resident leaders and particularly with Ms. Wright, that they could learn a few things on the accessibility features inside the unit that are easily accomplished in the construction phase.
Thank you, Director. That would be wonderful. I think it's my last question. I am very excited when we put up buildings where our families have internet access. And I'm not sure if that could be incorporated into this design, but there's Merritt Crossing where, as you know, I'm able to donate free computers to folks, but internet access is still a barrier. So at Merritt Crossings, folks just plug into a Cat 5 that is already there, ready mm-hmm. for them. And it's such a benefit for our folks. So I'm not sure if... And in memory of our commissioner that passed away, right? So I'm hoping that folks would consider that.
Let's let Colby Northridge from Related speak to that.
Good evening. My name is Colby Northridge from Related. We will have a community center, which will have, depending on the size of the community center at the end of the day. We'll likely have around 7 or 8 computer stations that will be accessible and free to use by all residents. We can consider, wiring the units for internet service is something we'd have to look at if the budget allows. We could, make those additions as we go along in the project.
I would really appreciate that, and we have computer centers in many of our places, and that's a good thing, and I thank you for that. But it's different when you're able to quietly work at home in your own space. And truly, if we're offering cable-ready units, we are at a stage in our, world where internet is just is another utility that all of us need to have.
Understood.
Okay. Thank you for considering it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Yes, we should leave.
I have a question following the original question. In regards to the retail, will there be any sort of fund for tenant improvements that would help mom and pop businesses with being able to set up? Also, whether there may be consideration of a smaller size commercial units.
It's a very good question. We're actually working right now with the Bald Sea to try to break ground in March on the project at 11th and Jackson Street. And we've been working diligently with the Bald Sea staff and the economic development side as well on how to fund what the Bald Sea calls the shell, the warm shell and the cold shell. And typically, developers build out a commercial space that, has floor and walls, but there's no heating. There's little lighting other than what might be needed to light the space so you could go in and look at it. The floors are usually concrete and so forth. And then until you've identified a user, you don't tend to put in other improvements, like if there's going to be a cafe, if you wanted kitchen equipment. You have to decide where you're going to stub the utilities out, where you're going to need the electrical and the water, what kind of bathrooms you might need if there's going to be public access to the property and you might need ADA bathrooms. And typically developers just build what they call a cold shell. And we've been working with the Bald Sea, and we could probably begin to talk with Related about what improvements we might be able to afford to make that space more ready for a tenant to move in so that the tenant doesn't have to pay all the costs. Tenants are usually used to paying for the tenant improvements, but again, sometimes the landlords have to help with that as well. And we're willing to talk with them about it. We have not had that discussion yet. I think the main reason is that we're working more directly with the developer, and we've only had a couple of meetings with ACTS and ACDC about what their plans might be, but we'll bring that up this week and see and get back to you on what we find.
Any other questions?
Yeah, 3 questions.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Commissioner Hurd,
great. Thanks, so. Yeah, Kobe Northridge. Did I say that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you for this project. I'm really looking forward for this happening. I used to work right on 94th and International, and to see the transformation is going to be amazing. But I have 3 questions. On page 4, my question is, it says ACDC will have a right of first refusal with the partnership and an option to purchase the project from the partnership after the tax credit compliance period ends. I didn't understand that part.
Okay. Typically, when we work in partnership deals, our partner has the first option to buy the tax credit partnership, which is the rental property improvements. This is different than the land. The housing authority will own the land.
Okay.
But they have the option to buy that after the tax credit compliance periods because the investors oftentimes exit at that point. And so they have the first option, as is the case when we work with Related and Ebaldi and Bridge and Saha and, you know, all the EAH and Christian Church Homes. This is typically the way it works if we have a partnership deal. And then we have the backup option. So if they don't buy it, to make sure it stays affordable, we are written in to buy it. That's the normal. There's exceptions to that, but that's the normal way it's worked.
Okay. My last question is OHA residual receipt loan will be repaid with a share of 50% of the residual. Help me understand that part.
Right. The standard process there, the city of Oakland's putting in $7.7 million, and there'll be a soft lender, that is, they'll have a residual receipts note. And the Housing Authority's loan, which, again, we are sizing at approximately $2.6 million, will be pro rata. So you might say, in rough terms, the city will get about three quarters, and we'll get about one quarter of half of the surplus, should there be any. And this is sort of our standard deal that we've had on everything we brought to you in the last few years. That's normally the way it's worked. It worked that way recently on the Lion Creek Phase 5 that we completed, on the Cathedral Gardens that we recently completed, on the Lakeside Senior Development that's still under construction, and so forth.
Okay.
Same kind of arrangement.
All right. That's it. Thank you, Phil.
Okay, I have a couple of comments. One is, I don't know, you know, I was just talking to someone recently who's involved with the Public Utilities Commission and said that they have an ability to facilitate installation of high bandwidth internet to subsidize housing. And I also know, some of you know Randall Whitney. I mean, he's been trying to talk to me about something that he's got going on this stuff. I don't know if you know anything about that. I don't really know anything about it. But I know that there seems to be a lot of things afloat that are working to help get high bandwidth internet connections into low-income housing. And then the other point that I'd like to make is to follow up on Commissioner Castillo's comments, retail. You know, I mean, I really think that we need to have some sort of a very clear, well-articulated strategy about how and why that retail is going to work. Because I've seen retail stuff go south, like, all over the place. And I can't figure out myself what makes it work and what doesn't. Things I think won't work sometimes work. Things I think will work, I'm sure they'll work, then they don't work. So I really think that we need to have some focus on that, because it would not be cool to have an awesome building with a whole bunch of vacancies underneath it. That would not be helping the neighborhood. Which leads me to my next comment, which is helping the neighborhood, because we've been talking, and I've talked with Eric a little bit about this, and when we're doing a project like this, it would be very disappointing, and I think would add to the risk, if this really ends up becoming just a kind of one building deal in an area that's really got nothing else happening. And so we're making an investment here, we're having more investments being made, and I think we need someone needs to be the point person to drive the entire effort for this neighborhood, because to make it better. Because if we don't, it won't happen by accident, because things never do. And so we've got different organizations that are working on this. We're working on it, right, OHA. We've got Related working on it. The city of Oakland is working on it. Who, and there may be other people, but who is going to really lead this effort to try to make sure that not only does this building work, but we leave a legacy of a neighborhood better than it was before we came in? And I think if we really look at this, we may find some options to make stuff happen that we never thought of before. So I would like to ask that we have, that as we move, because there's so much to like about this, it's almost impossible to say no to this. There's just too many good elements to this to say no to it, right? I mean, we kind of have to. I mean, I feel like I have to move forward with this. But I would like to see this be a shining success. And so if we could have a plan, if we could see a plan, like how are all these pieces going to happen? What are we going to do for retail, and what are we going to do to drive this neighborhood to another level, so that it'll make me feel better. That's for sure. So thank you.
I appreciate all those comments, and I want to just kind of reiterate where we are for the board's behalf. The board is in support of this project for a number of reasons, which I think have been heard by, certainly I'm glad that Mr. Northridge is here from Related, and we can share with Bill and others and the folks over at Axe Community Development Corporation as well. But a couple things that the board would like to see is follow-up pending today's action, which would allow them to turn in their 9% tax credit application by March, so I want to give them a break to prepare that. Right. But I think what we would like to have happen is that the partnership in some form come back with a couple of things. And I want to say what the couple things are just for the record, because I think we have general consensus that we would really like them to take the time to meet with some of our RAB members who can bring insight into how to make units and improve the unit's design and some of the simple features. I think that's something that we have committed to doing in all our projects going forward, so I'd like them to participate in that. We'd like to have some retail study done and in the next 6 months or so that we can bring back to the board to say what's the size of retail, how can it be configured, and what is the real marketability in the retail, so we get some idea and we can help provide some input and maybe some ideas and direction in that area. The other issue I think is a little bit farther out in terms of the pro forma and whether or not they can do it inside or outside in terms of the internet access. But what could come back sometime in the summer, I think, is to have a discussion about the overall neighborhood, how we can be more impactful, and I think we can engage the partnership to come to a meeting and have an agenda item where we actually look at a map and we talk about how we can have impact and talk about who maybe the housing authority can bring together should this project get funded through the state and we move forward with it, in how we can, as a housing authority, help institute that change and help really get behind putting resources behind the change to make sure we have a broader impact than one property. That's what I heard.
Yes, so, and who's going to lead that?
It's us or someone else. Exactly. Yeah. So that's, I think, the direction we got.
Perfect.
Today, in terms of future things we would like to see happen as the board.
I want to make sure, too, that we don't overstate our case, so I don't want to rain on the parade at all. This deal foresees.
You don't have a parade. You can't rain on it.
Well, I've heard some very, very positive comments from the board about this project and the community and the group that's put this together so far. The plan here is to have, again, the church and ACDC take the lead on the commercial. And our future steps are, if you approve the project tonight, Colby will work day and night to try to get this application in, and Bridget will be probably helping him from anything from our standpoint. We'll go on March 4th. The Tax Credit Allocation Committee meets on June 10th, is on their schedule. They will decide who the winners are. If this project gets enough points and is selected, Related and Axe will get together with us, and they'll have to decide if they can go forward. They have critical mass. They have 30 days to decide and sign and go forward. They'll have only 6 months to break ground. The construction schedule is 13 months. So they'll have to break ground by December, and this project would be placed in service in very early 2017. We won't be in a position to attract retail tenants now. Typically, for this kind of project, you cannot build the project for, a user. Like, investors build projects for Walmart or for Best Buy. But they don't build this size of project. You need a hands-on realtor working with the manager of that space. And the manager of the space will not be us. That said, we can do everything Eric just repeated. We could bring Axe and Related back probably if, once we know if we're getting the funding, sometime between July and December, when we get in the ground and break ground, we could have this kind of a meeting. We could look at what resources that neighborhood needs. It's a resource-deficient neighborhood. We already know that. We could look at the plans for the bus line that that Eric mentions going out through there, and what impact that might have. And we can try to tap into your thoughts and your energy and get everybody's input on it. But we won't be able to manage that process. I won't be able to manage that process.
First, I think we should start with what we should do first. And that is, after the tax credit application gets in between March and June, Mr. Northridge, I don't know if you probably, seems like there's a window there before between March and June that we have some availability of time. My guess is you've already looked at some retail scenarios, and I think that what the board is saying is we would like to hear something about that and the word go. Secondly, I would really like it if you were able, between that time of March and June, because I think it's available time, is to meet with the RAB and other interested parties about some accessibility features of what we would like to see in some of the units that we are building, because we would like to see them, and we are serious about it. And that can happen, I think, right away. The impact and the neighborhood impact, I think, waits until we know if we got funded and we're going forward. And
clearly.
And the internet access, I think, is something we will make an effort to accomplish. But those first two things I would really like to see happen before June if we can. And it seems like we have a window before you get busy again, if you get funded, to engage in a conversation about those two items. And early enough to do something, particularly about the features and things within the unit, we can make some of those adjustments.
Right. Yeah, I think that that's right. I think that what our goal here is really just to make sure that everything that we think is really important and might trip this up has been thought through in the proper way. And the comments I made about management, that's really just we're talking about managing the interface between different partners, different interested parties, just whatever it takes to elevate the neighborhood. And I'm just saying someone needs to manage that, and I don't know who it is.
Well, it probably isn't real estate, if it gives Phil a break.
It's probably not real estate.
Through
it's
the executive office and maybe through planning and development. But what I'd like to say about that, I really appreciate the board's direction on this. We walked into this deal that has well baked, and we want to just take a couple look at a couple things, and we want to keep it going forward and ensure that not only you can do your 9% tax credit and score well in the bonus points, but that we end up with something that we think is worth the residents of Oakland and that we can be proud of. Yeah. So if you would just bear with us after we give you the authority to do the application with some of the commitments that we're going to give you, but in return that we have a report. And I think you probably have done a lot of work around the retail and the square footage and what it could support. Yes. But I would like to hear that as well. I know we have a history of some retail, not only within this agency, but within the city in general, and affordable housing that has not been successful. And we would like to see if we can improve on that and take advantage of some of the wisdom on the board to help that happen. I think that's doable. The other strategy is actually going to help the development in the long run, and we would just want to engage the partnership as part of the broader kind of agency-driven change for the neighborhood, and I think that's in everyone's best interest, and it can happen later.
Thank you. I actually wrote down three things: accessibility, internet into the apartments, and retail and impact on the neighborhood. Anything else I should be writing down for this next we can address in the next few months?
Not so much impact on the neighborhood. I would just say could be misinterpreted. How to elevate the neighborhood. That's what we're really looking at.
And I think Commissioner Murphy had
I just had one comment that there are a lot of on the ground kind of organizations that have been funded by the California Endowment along the International Corridor. And maybe if some of the commissioners have a little bit of extra time, we could go to some of those meetings, because there's a lot of work going on. And the corridor is going to be really rich and exciting in the next 10 years, so housing will just be part of it.
Cool. All right, you may.
So I'll move the item.
Item has been moved.
Second.
It has been seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Any abstentions? It is unanimous. 94th rolls forward. Okay.
Thank you.
So we are now on to item C.
Item C
Item C is the first of three public hearings we are conducting tonight related to our annual plan and some changes to our admin plan and our ACOP, which is our public housing administrative plan. And I would like to turn it over to Dominica Henderson and Julie Christensen, who are going to give a presentation, and then we'll just open it for public comment. Once we've received public comment, this will actually come back in March to you. Today, it's just holding the public hearing for the three items.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Dominica Henderson. I'm here with Julie Christensen, the senior policy analyst that just joined our team. And we will give the presentation of the fiscal year 2016 MTW plan, and we'll also give a brief update of the changes that were made to the administrative plan for Section 8 and the ACOP as well for public housing. So I just wanted to include a slide this year that goes through the format of the MTW plan, the copy of the MTW plan that you received. We have to complete the MTW plan in accordance with a prescribed format that HUD submitted last year. So we recently made that change, and this is just following the outline that they've provided. We have to give a overall introduction, give a general understanding of the housing information that that exists within our portfolio, our MTW portfolio. We then go into Section 3, which would describe any proposed activities. Section 4 talks about any changes or any updates or modifications to approved activities that we have proposed in previous year plans. Section 5 is the sources and uses of the MTW funds. And then Section 6 is administrative and any other additional information that we would include to help clarify questions with the MTW plan. So, okay, sorry, it may be me. All right. So, another reminder, OHA has rebranded the Moving to Work program to be its Making Transitions Work program, to be inclusive of all of our families, not just those that are work eligible. So this would just broaden the program because we feel like our innovations that we develop under the MTW designation have allowed us to have an impact on a broader community than just families with children or families that are working. We are still one of 39 agencies that have MTW authority from HUD. And our current agreement goes through 2018. Hopefully, we will be executing an extension of that agreement. But at this current time, the MTW agreement goes through the end of the fiscal year of 2018. And this MTW plan that's before you today is